Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Very few North Carolinians have enjoyed public service careers of greater impact and variety than Tom Ross. Currently the president of the Volcker Alliance, a national nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to improving the efficiency and accountability of government at all levels, Ross served previously as the president of the University of North Carolina, president of Davidson College, executive director of the Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation, director of the North Carolina Administrative Office of the Courts, a Superior Court judge, and in several other prominent roles. In his current role, one of Ross's top priorities is pursuing nonpartisan redistricting reform that would end political gerrymandering. Recently, he headlined a redistricting reform summit in Raleigh organized by the North Carolina Business Council. He joined us in studio to discuss the summit and what comes next in the effort to end gerrymandering. Well, Tom Ross, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
First off, I think a lot of people would like to know about your work with the Volcker Alliance, which is a national group started by former Federal Reserve Chairman and famed economist Paul Volcker.
Well, thank you. It's a relatively new organization, actually. Mr. Volcker, who is will be turning 91 before long, is still very, very active. And one of his passions is government and having government work well and attracting people into public service and into government service. He spent much of his career in public service and is one of those, in my view, truly courageous public leaders. I mean, if you go back and look at what he did in the 1970s and 80s to fight inflation, but he did it in a way that was sort of against what people thought was the right answer. And he had the courage to do the right thing. And it turned out to be the right thing, fortunately for the country. But he's just a remarkable man, and it's a real privilege and honor to work with him. And he created the organization for really one purpose, and that is to advance the effective management of government. He cares a great deal about how government is managed, and he wants it to be effective to get results for citizens. So for him, it's not about our working on particular policies. It is really more about how do we help government be better at what it does? How do we help it implement policies, whatever those policies are? And so we work at the federal, state, and we're beginning to work at the local level in a range of different issues. And really, as I say, the effort the organization brings to the table is a nonpartisan approach to be a catalyst for change, positive change in the way government works.
Speaking of nonpartisan catalysts for change, there's a group, North Carolinians for Redistricting Reform, that you're heading up here in North Carolina. Tell us a little bit about that work.
Well, actually, I'm co-chair of the board with Chuck McGrady, who is a good friend and also very interested in this issue. And this is a bipartisan effort that we started a couple of years ago. It arose out of my work over at Duke as a Sanford Fellow. And the goal is to bring North Carolina to a point where we have a nonpartisan process for drawing districts, election districts, whether it be for the legislature or for congressional seats. We believe, this group believes, I think, that the partisan nature of redistricting historically, both parties have done it, both parties are guilty. Right. Democrats have done it, Republicans have done it. And it leads to increasing gridlock and really the bitter partisan divide that's keeping us from solving problems. And so,
why that's so?
I think what happens when you gerrymander is you create safe districts. Safe districts tend to elect people that are responsive only to some of the voters because that's really the only ones they have to attract. And over time, sometimes what you see happen, and we've seen this actually in some recent elections in the United States, an incumbent in a gerrymandered district is attacked from somebody who's more extreme in their party. And this is happening in both parties. So it drives both parties more and more to the extreme. And I think, therefore, really almost is a barrier to any compromise. Because if you think of yourself as being in a safe district, except you might get what we call primaried, all you really worry about is people from the extreme who don't want you to compromise with the other side. Compromise becomes evil. And look, democracy is built on compromise. So I think we've got to fix this if we want to preserve our democracy.
So how do we do that? What do we do in North Carolina?
I think there are some states that are already moving in this direction with good outcomes. But most of the states that have made change are states that allow public referendum. And we're not one of those states. And so the only way we can make this change is either statutory or by constitutional amendment. I'm not sure a statutory change is really the right answer, because if the party in control today makes a statutory change, the party in control tomorrow may undo it. And they don't trust each other. probably for good reason, on this issue. And so I think the only way to really get both parties to the table here and to reach a compromise is a constitutional amendment. I think there are some people who favor independent commissions. I think those can be problematic because you get caught up in a morass of issues of who's going to appoint them and how they're going to get appointed and what does it really mean to be bipartisan. I think the key to this, and our group believes the key to this, is really the rules that you use for drawing districts. And if you prohibit the use of voting history information, if you prohibit the use of party registration information, you do it in a transparent way so people can't sneak in using proxy data like Facebook and that sort of thing, that's really the key. You're going to have to draw districts that the population is relatively equal because the Supreme Court requires that in Baker versus Carr. You're going to have to comply with other federal legislation. But I think if you exclude the use of political data and you do it in a transparent forum, then you're going to come out with much better districts than we're getting today in terms of being fair to all the voters. I think the biggest risk of gerrymandering, forget the who gets elected and whether or not they can compromise and all that, which I think is very important. But what's really important about this is increasingly people have lost interest in our democracy. They don't vote because they don't think their vote counts anymore. In many gerrymandered districts, it doesn't. If you're a Republican and you're in a gerrymandered Democratic district, I live in one of those in Charlotte, your vote doesn't matter. And if you're a Democrat that lives in a Republican gerrymandered district, your vote doesn't really matter. It doesn't count. And so you lose interest. You don't participate any longer in democracy. And when a nation loses the participation of its people, its citizens, in its democracy, it will lose democracy eventually, in my view. And I think we're closer and more at risk there than we probably realize.
So in your assessment, it's really more about the rules than it is who does the drawing of the maps. It's setting out some concrete guidelines that everybody has to abide by and that everybody understands how it's being done, transparency to the public. That's the solution more than just creating an independent commission.
I think that's the most important part of the solution. Look, I would be happy with an independent commission of some sort. And, certainly we would be happy with that. Our group would be happy with that. We just don't want to get caught up in the morass of issues trying to solve that one. The advantage of a commission, I think, is really one, and that is it enhances the public trust and public perception of the process. But I'm also fully okay with whoever wants to draw the districts as long as we have the rules right. And as long as it's done transparently, because I think if you have the rules right and it's done transparently, you're going to come out in a much better place.
So as we record this, of course, the Supreme Court has before it some important cases on this very issue, and we could see an historic ruling, really, from the court on gerrymandering, the whole idea of partisan gerrymandering. What do you think is going to happen there? How will that affect what happens in North Carolina?
Yeah, I gave up. When I left the judiciary, I gave up trying to read what the Supreme Court was going to do on anything. But this is an issue that has been moving toward this resolution for a long time. And it is an issue that's critically important to the future of democracy. The court has before it three cases, but two that they've heard arguments on, one from Wisconsin, one from Maryland, one where there was a Republican gerrymander, one where there was a Democratic gerrymander. I think what you should look for is whether or not they say that the issue of gerrymandering on a partisan basis is a justiciable issue. That means, can the courts hear it? And if they can, I think what that means is that extreme partisan gerrymandering can be unconstitutional. That, I think, argues that we should fix it. We should do it in a nonpartisan way. I don't think it changes the need for fixing the situation in North Carolina. There's a North Carolina case before the Supreme Court as well.
Right.
That one has not been argued, but the outcome of the two other cases will certainly influence what happens to it.
Before we let you go, we feel compelled to ask you a quick question about the state of higher education in North Carolina. You obviously devoted much of your career to leading two of our greatest universities, or one of our greatest colleges, one of our greatest university system. What is your take on how things stand right now as you've gotten a chance to get away from it?
Yeah, look, I think higher education has been under stress all over the country for lots of different reasons. Part of it was, frankly, going through a very difficult recession. It puts a lot of pressure on people thinking you got to have an education to get a job. And if the education isn't resulting in an immediate job for you, it's bad education. and you failed somehow. And I think people are beginning now in a stronger economy to realize, hey, you know, education is really important for lots of reasons, one of which is to prepare people for the workforce. I used to always say that our job in higher education was to prepare people for their last job, not their first, because it's true. You're preparing them for a life. You're preparing them to learn how to continue to learn and to be adaptable and flexible and move from one job to the other. So it remains critical. North Carolina's university system remains one of the best in the country and one of the most affordable. My successor, Margaret Spellings, has been put in a very difficult position at times, but I think she's done a pretty good job. And I stay in touch with her. I've offered to help her in any way I can, just as President Bowles and Spangler and Friday all stayed in touch with me and were willing to help me. And I think we all got to pitch in together because we're fortunate to have a great university and we need to keep it that way.
Well, glad to know you're staying in touch with her, and I would agree. She's sort of ridden some difficult waves. We hope it she's able to continue doing that. Thank you so much for joining us. All the best luck with this campaign to end gerrymandering in North Carolina.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out on the web and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, I'm Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.